roots and increase sweeps. I have it with me Street Roots new investigative reporter, Henry Brennan, who wrote this article. Thanks for being here, Henry.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're new to Street Roots, and I'd love to introduce you to our listeners. If you could just tell us a little bit about how you started reporting first, what topics you tend to focus on, and what brought you to Street Roots.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of a homecoming in a way. I'm from Portland, and when I wanted to start reporting, I actually reached out to Street Roots about a decade ago to volunteer at the front desk. And then, yeah, you know, years later, when I did my first official pitch, it was actually also for Street Roots. So I was kind of schooled by Street Roots. And then from there, you know, I went on to work for the PBS NewsHour as a fellow there, producing some stories and helping out. And then covered rural health in Virginia's Shenandoah Valley for a couple NPR stations. And then ended up coming back to this area. I worked for the Columbian and the Daily News through Washington state-funded journalism program. It's called the Murrow News Fellowship. And there I covered the Columbia River. Now coming back to Street Roots, this time, you know, not as a freelancer, official style. Very, very exciting. I think Street Roots, I love it. You know, it's done a lot for me, and I really believe it's the best place in the region to get news when you really want to understand stuff. As far as what I plan to cover, I've kind of got this little system I'm thinking for what I want to do. And that's basically like explainers on the policies shaping life around our city, profiles of the people crafting those policies, investigations into the causes of growing regional misery, and then dispatches. And those would be from a variety of things, but including from the front lines of kind of what I view as like efforts by communities to make their own lives better. So that's kind of what I'm hoping. As far as topics go, you know, I think, you know, the economists call it the K-shaped economy. I think, you know, a more normal way to say it would just be that, you know, life is getting worse for people at the bottom, poverty, homelessness, all sorts of things like that. So I basically want to look at why that's happening, what impacts that's having on people, who's benefiting, who isn't benefiting, and then what people and policies are doing to address that. And hopefully there'll be some hopeful stories too, because, you know, I know there's a lot of things going on right now that people don't find hopeful, understandably. But of course, there's also plenty of stuff that I see that I think is really inspiring to people. So that's kind of what I'm going to cover, broadly speaking.
Amazing. I'm really looking forward to hearing what else you report.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's cool that you started out with Street Roots too. It's such an incredible publication.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the city is just, you know, we're really lucky to have Street Roots, and you know, I've said that for, you know, more than a decade. So it's pretty cool to be, you know, on staff now.
Amazing. Well, sweet. Let's talk about your article. So let's set the context a little bit for this article. There was a really dangerous heat dome a few years ago. In 2021, I believe, that killed several Portlanders. And now there are more projections for a really hot summer ahead of us. Where are these projections coming from, and what does this mean for us?
Yeah, basically the story is kind of born out of, I was looking at National Weather Service climate projections, and basically they'd said that this summer is leaning towards being hotter than average and drier than average. And so I talked to, I wanted to make sure I was understanding these right. So I talked to a meteorologist at the National Weather Service's Portland office. He's like, yes, indeed. And he basically said that the average, and this is for, you know, recent decades, the average maximum temperature for July is just shy of 82 degrees. August is a little more, you know, about 82. And so, you know, we're looking like we're going to be above that, which is, you know, already quite hot. So that's the origin of the heat component of the story and where those kind of projections are coming from.
How might this affect Portland's homeless population?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, on a broad level, as far as the way this would affect people, People are outside. If you're experiencing homelessness, especially unsheltered homelessness, you're outside, all day. And so, this opens you up to increased risk of things like heat exhaustion, heat stroke. I should also add, heat, people don't know this generally, but heat is actually the most deadly type of weather-related natural disaster, according to the National Weather Service, their data. Part of the, I should also say, it's widely thought to be, undercounted, the death toll from heat, because often what it does is it exacerbates or it worsens things like heart attacks, kidney failure, other disease. And so basically, I think, the ways directly that this can impact people are kind of worsening those, what people call like pre-existing conditions, which of course, we all have to varying degrees, people. And then also just being outside so long, especially when you're sleeping outside, so your body never has a chance to kind of cool down. That really opens you up to things like heat exhaustion and heat stroke. And then, as we'll get into later, those things are really further worsened by kind of the context here in the city right now, which is one of kind of cuts to services, like shelters in particular, and some of the more like 24/7 shelters that provide a little higher level of services, at least in part. It's not completely the full picture. And then also increasing sweeps under the direction of the current administration here in Poland.
Thanks. Yeah. The heat often leads to more fires here in Oregon. And what are some of the impacts of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was talking to the meteorologist with the National Weather Service. He gave me some kind of notes of caution, which is that, while it is projected to be both hotter and drier than average, which is, as I pointed out, that's a bit of a recipe for wildfires. And of course, we also have a record low snowpack, which doesn't help either. But also generally fire spread when there's low humidity and high wind. And so of course, we don't know how that'll line up this summer. But of course, forest practices over since really Euro-Americans arrived in the region have certainly not set us up for success as far as wildfires go. But basically the impacts of those on people who are outside, on people experiencing homelessness are pretty significant. I don't know if people remember, but back in 2020, Oregon experienced, what was then the most destructive wildfires in the state's history. It burned more than 1 million acres. And, obviously because of that, it blanketed the whole region and a lot of the country in a lot of really thick smoke. I remember at one point, Portland had some of the worst, or I think the worst air quality on earth. And so Street Roots and Portland State University did actually a survey about that around that time. And what they found is that about half of respondents said it impacted their health. Nearly 40% reported difficulty breathing. 15% went to the hospital. And I mean, as far as impacts of that goes, they're pretty significant. Obviously, exacerbating things like asthma and other things, walking pneumonia, bronchitis, all sorts of things like that. But then also, there's particles in smoke known as PM2.5. These are basically really, really small particles, but those, researchers will actually, get in your blood and increase the risk of heart disease, high blood pressure, heart attack, stroke, which, of course, in a cruel twist, also kind of increase your risk of heat-related, health issues and death ultimately. So it's kind of a vicious cycle in that way, as far as the impacts of wildfires go.
Yeah, right. So, as far as different kinds of respite that is offered by the city, what is there currently?
Yeah, so I talked to the city and county about this, and both, sent me statements emphasizing that, they're not asleep at the wheel. They're gonna take action to keep people safe is basically what they said. And so you have things like for hot weather, you've got things like cooling centers, which certainly they're opened. They advise going to things like libraries. Certainly you can go to public pools that are indoor, there's splash pads. And then as far as overnight options, while we have seen some cuts to kind of 24/7 shelters and things like that. Those still do exist, and those are, one option. for staying cool in particular at night. But yeah, and those, if this weather does indeed materialize, which, of course it's summer, it's going to be hot, and climate changes here, so that is those are factors. But if this weather does materialize, the county and the city, will be putting resources out there, letting people know, and of course street routes will be letting people know too.
Amazing. Yeah, it's impossible to have this conversation without also acknowledging climate change. Thanks for shouting that out there. So, what do the actual impacts look like to the people living on the streets right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So the county shared some data about what that's looked like in previous years. And basically, what they shared is that in summer 2024, about 8% of heat-related emergency room visits, urgent care visits, those were people experiencing homelessness. For context, about 2% of the county's total population is homeless, which is itself a pretty staggering statistic. But so basically, homeless people, we know that they're disproportionately represented. We know that people are indeed going into the emergency department. So there's that. And then also, between 2022 and 2024, county data showed that there are about 14 heat-associated deaths, with one of those people experiencing homelessness. Again, it should be said, heat deaths often undercounted. So that's kind of an important caveat. But yeah, I mean, we know that it has pretty significant impacts on people experiencing homelessness. And as a part of the reporting, I actually talked to the clinical care director for Portland Street Medicine. And for people that don't know, that's an organization that's out on the street, meeting people where they're at, providing care. And he told me that, he spent last summer out on the street treating people in, 90-degree weather, 100-degree weather. And he was really seeing a lot of people, like every day, seeing people who were having heat exhaustion. And a lot of people having heat stroke as well. I should say, really, we should talk a little bit about some of the symptoms of those things, so people know. As far as heat exhaustion goes, these are things like thirst, heavy sweating, muscle cramps, headaches, weakness, kind of a varied pulse, so maybe weak or rapid dizziness, nausea, goosebumps. And then as far as heat stroke goes, which is kind of a step beyond, really, you'll have like a altered mental state or behavior, so seeming out of it. And I should also probably note, going off that, if you see somebody experiencing these symptoms, I think it's pretty good idea to go check in with them, ask them if they're okay, if they need anything, if they need any water. And then ultimately, if they are in a really bad situation, asking like, do you need me to call a Portland Street Response? Do you need me to call 911? Like, what works for you? Are you, okay?
Yeah, thank you for that. So important to keep our communities safe. So as we talk about, these impacts on some of our most vulnerable members of our community, this current local administration here has started increasing sweeps, which, historically has made those populations even more vulnerable. So could you talk a little bit about how sweeps impact folks in this context?
Yeah, I think one thing that really stuck with me was when I was talking to the clinical care director of Portland Street Medicine. He really singled this out as a particularly large fear. And basically, what he said is, folks who are living on the street, people living on the street, keep each other safe. They form community to, oh, you seem out of it, take some water. Oh, let's get you care. And so basically, increasing sweeps has really disrupted that community. So people are more isolated, and they're more prone to basically the impacts of that. And that those can be even kind of like downstream impacts. Like, for instance, he mentioned, people are reluctant to get care that they really desperately need, because they're afraid that their stuff is going to be stolen, basically because they don't have that community looking out for them. I should also mention that I talked to professors at Portland State University, one being the director of the Institute on Aging, and the other person being a professor at the School of Public Health, both associated with their Homelessness Research and Action Collaborative. And they both talked about people being less likely to get care for heat-related issues, just because it's seen as less serious broadly. So anyhow, already just all of us are less likely to get care for heat. And then kind of on top of that, these sweeps are breaking up community, leaving people in more vulnerable positions is what my reporting has shown me. I also spent the day walking around talking to people on the street, or I should say a morning doing that about this stuff. And I think people also talked about the impacts of sweeps in that way. So with them increasing, I think that leaves a lot of folks pretty nervous about some of the impacts this heat will have and the situations and positions that leaves people in heading into the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that context. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about this article today?
Support your local vendors. Go to Streeter's website and find out where vendors are. And they are what keeps Streeter's running. They're very important. And it's a good paper. There's some other really good stories in it this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And how much are the papers, just so folks know?
Absolutely. So they're a dollar. You can of course give more always, and Streeter's now accepts Venmo as well. So you've got options, not just cash.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time, Henry. I really look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You are listening to Street Roots Radio on X-Ray FM. I'm Hannah Francis.
Recently, some music streaming apps have begun polling listeners to ask if they think a playlist was created by a human or by AI. When we hear that, we know what we're doing is only becoming more important. While corporations may try their hand at replicating human touch, we know that a real live human is what can make the musical curation feel like magic.
Hosts in our community curate their programs with intentionality, purpose, and sheer talent. AI can't replicate a human touch because the personality and emotion behind this form of artistic expression is what adds that something special. Only a person can connect you with the people behind the music or the unique anecdotes of what a song has meant for them, or even just open listeners up to discovering a long-lost or underappreciated treasure.
Even still, X-Ray is pretty unique for the places that do have all live DJs choosing their music. Why? Because we don't tell them what to play or even limit their selections to a certain genre, style, or format. Many stations with similar values at least have a set of music that the music director requires each DJ to play something from for a certain amount of time every hour. We don't do that.
We've heard from countless DJs over the years, including many who could easily get a full-time gig DJing at a much bigger station, that why they come to X-Ray is for the freedom to explore, play what they want, and grow and evolve as people. Art isn't meant to be constrained. And we know we're doing something right when we hear this. When you support this work, not only are you allowing us to do this project better, but you're allowing more people to discover this programming and more creatives to access this opportunity to learn and express themselves without limits.
It's not easy to keep this platform running, growing, or to expand opportunities for folks to join the airwaves on the regular. Help us keep this space open for creative expression and a real-life human touch every hour of the day. Become a member at just $10 a month to support the 100-plus humans here every week. And you know you'll be supporting not just the folks here now, but for many years to come. You can go to xray.fm/donate or call 503-233-XRAY. That's 503-233-9729 to join today.
Thank you.
maybe I tried too hard. But hey, I'm all in. I lick the big star. I lick the big star. Count the days. I lick the big star. Until I'm up there.